On Sunday, the 26th of March, the 77th women's and 168th men's Oxford versus Cambridge boat races took place. These races have, rightly, become iconic and global spectacles, with live coverage on the BBC and thousands of spectators lining the river each year. However, the fundamentals of this event have never changed. Two crews, one in light blue and one in dark blue, positioned themselves ready on the championship course in the heart of London, and over the next 4.2 miles, they pushed their endurance, technique, teamwork and mental strength to the limit. Amid all the fanfare and atmosphere, it's nine students against nine students, and first over the line wins. This documentary aims to get to the heart of the event by talking to these people who are at the race's very core, the student athletes. We'll hear from the presidents across both universities' male and female crews, as well as from wider crew members, coaches and lightweight and reserve rowers. There'll also be conversations with people involved in the wider boat race family, from umpires and veteran racers to outreach and charity partners. So firstly, before any mention of Sunday's result, we're going to wind the clock way back to 30th of November 2022, the occasion of the President's Challenge. This event marked the formal launch of the boat race campaign for this season, and saw the president of the losing crews from that spring's race challenge the president of the erstwhile victors. On the women's side, Oxford's Sarah Helen threw down the gauntlet to two-time champion Caoimhe Dempsey, while it was Cambridge's Ollie Boyne's turn to challenge the dark blues' Tassilo von Müller. You could sense the genuine excitement of all involved in these challenges at the prospect of getting this year's season underway. This was an evening to celebrate the traditions and festivities of the boat race. Thoughts of the hours and days of grueling hard work to come were put aside, at least for a few hours. Let's hear what the presidents had to say at this point in their journey, starting with Sarah, who has twice rowed in the women's reserve race and this year has made it into the first boat. She tells us about the responsibilities of a president and about how she got into the sport.
I think it's quite a leadership role and supportive role to make sure that the team can perform as best as they can on the boat race day. I actually learned to row at school. I remember I think I watched just a small regatta race and I thought, wow, I really want to do that because I'm quite competitive anyway. And then I started rowing very chill, like 3 days a week, and then it slowly built up and here I am now.
Next up is Cambridge's women's president, Caoimhe, who takes us through the disruption the boat race has faced over the last few years due to COVID. Caoimhe was selected in 2020 for the race that was cancelled at the last minute, before triumphing in 2021 at the temporary Ely course. After this, she won on the Thames last year, amid a season which still faced some COVID restrictions. Here are Caoimhe's thoughts on the benefits of returning to proper normality this year, whilst juggling this with the challenges of being president.
I think last year's race really made me realise how different it actually is to all the things I had experienced before that. And it's a great experience to have under our belt, and I think as well the crews last year were phenomenal and we had a lot of amazing international experience, and all of that has fed into the confidence in the women's programme and in the coaching and everything. So yeah, we're excited to kind of put all that in place and yeah, see what we can do this March. Everybody always asks, so how do you balance rowing and studying? And you know, my answer to that has always been, well, I don't know any different, because I took up rowing as a first year undergrad, and so I've always had it in my kind of university experience, but the presidency is new, so that's kind of an additional challenge I've definitely had to get used to this year. And you know, whereas rowing takes a lot of time, it's a very kind of specific time, you know you're rowing pre 9 a.m. and post 5 p.m. but the presidency can just take you at any moment, any day, and that's a different kind of challenge. But you know, the thing about it is that it's really rewarding, and everything that I'm doing is, you know, I can see that it's going to have a positive impact on everybody else on the team, and I want to make this team as successful as possible, so I've got a lot of motivation for it. So yeah, it doesn't really feel like a chore.
Caoimhe Dempsey speaking there. The rowers that make up the boat race crews always account for a wide range of journeys into rowing. Whilst many are often old hands before they even get to university, others are new to the sport when they start their degrees and manage to finesse elite skills from scratch while studying. The Cambridge men's president, Ollie, tells us about his path into the sport and how Cambridge University Boat Club works to make sure it is always fostering new talent.
I got into rowing in 2016 when I matriculated at Cambridge. I started with my college down in College Boat Club, and have been at Cambridge ever since. And I first trialled with the CUBC in 2019, in my fourth year. As a club, we run Dev Squad every year where we try and bring in new people. And we're always looking to get in contact with college rowers who are wanting to make that step. And it's really important to raise awareness and show these people that, look, we have people that have done it and have competed alongside Olympians and that you can do it as well, yeah.
Focusing back on the boat race itself, Ollie finished by explaining what the next few months hold for the crews.
We've got quite a lot of races coming up, building up to the race. We've got trial eights and then our many fixtures in the new year. I mean, I think for all of them, we go into them with a goal about how it affects the race. It's all about the race, the end goal. So, for instance, trial eights, it's our first full run as two matched eights side by side over the course. But every step of the way, we're not just thinking about how we win that race, but about learning things, how to race, what to do if you're up, what to do if you're down, all along the course and taking all those lessons forward into March.
Ollie's story is an important reminder that to get into these boats, you don't need to have been racing at an elite level since you were very young. That being said, it is very true that there are still many barriers for lots of people to participate in rowing. But one organisation that is working to break these barriers down is Fulham Reach Boat Club, one of the boat race's bursary partners. In this next interview, Steve O'Connor, the founder and CEO of Fulham Reach, talks about the work, ambitions and achievements of Fulham Reach in its mission to make rowing more accessible to everyone.
My name's Steve O'Connor. I'm the Chief Exec of Fulham Reach Boat Club, and we're a registered charity that started back originally in 2013. We opened our doors in 2014 with a vision of rowing for all. So as a charity, we're using the sport of rowing to try and work with those groups who we think need our help and try and impact their lives for the better using the sport of rowing and all forms it comes in.
Brilliant, thank you. And can you tell us how your partnership with the boat race fits into this vision?
Well, yeah, I mean, we've worked with the boat race almost from the very start when we opened, because the race goes past our door here. So it made sense for us to, you know, work alongside as much as we could. And obviously the boat race itself is a great advert for the sport. We started a programme called Future Blues, where we wanted to try and get children across all four boroughs that the boat race goes through in London out onto the water. We were successful with that in Hampstead and Fulham. We didn't quite get it with the other boroughs, but we did manage to get every state school in Hampstead and Fulham out on the water, about 1,300 children a year own. And then latterly, we've been supported by the boat race for our bursary programme. So with their funding, they've been able to help us support the juniors a year, have full access. So they've been able to join as full members. And these juniors are, you know, they've come through our schools programme, they've tried rowing, they've enjoyed it, but they probably wouldn't have the means to be able to carry on rowing for the year. So through the bursary funding, we get to keep them in here. And they're off racing and training every week and doing all sorts of fun things up and down the river. Some of them, you know, just enjoy being around the club and having that structure in the community. And some of them have gone off and are racing and have gone to the likes of GB trials and so on. So yeah, it's great to you know, have that involvement for the boat race and be able to let that translate into young people getting access to the river.
Really interesting. Thank you very much. And you've talked already about some of the benefits for young people in getting involved in rowing, but I wondered if you could talk now specifically about the health benefits, physical and mental. I'm sure you see improvements in both.
Yeah, definitely. So we've seen a lot of improvements in mental health benefits. So there's a few things we measure. So we measure improvements in confidence, focus and teamwork ability, because we think those are the three things that rowing over indexes on compared to other sports. And so we can see a clear improvement in those. So at least 80% of the juniors that we work with can demonstrate an improvement in all three of those areas. But then we get a lot of anecdotal feedback that talks about the effect of being out on the water. You know, we get a lot of things that of juniors saying that actually it's, you know, the first time they felt calm in a while. They find it a really good way to de-stress. And then, you know, subsequently we find out that teenagers in London feel stress, like genuine stress a lot of the time, which is a bit of a concern in itself. But even down to sort of practical applications, like we get children saying that it's fantastic that they don't have their mobile phone on them for an hour, because obviously you can't take it out on the river. So yeah, so there's a lot of mental health benefits. And I think also with rowing, it's a fantastic teacher in resilience, because it's, you know, it's a hard sport. It's physically demanding. It's technically tough. In a race, you have to keep going. Otherwise, you let everyone down around you. Whereas other sports, that's not necessarily the case. So it teaches you resilience and teaches you dig in when things are pretty tough going. Children that have been involved in rowing for a while, you just see that inner confidence and a bit of swagger from them that you don't necessarily see from other children in their peer group. So that's been, it's been great to see over the years. You know, we've had thousands of kids through the door at this stage now, and it's you can definitely see when they get up to school, you can see who the rowers are and you can see who doesn't.
Steve O'Connor there, describing the inspiring and important work of Fulham Reach Boat Club. Returning now to the main story and the crews themselves, we fast forward from November through to early March. During these months, the crews have been participating in several trial fixtures, both internally and against opposition, including the University of London and the Dutch national team. Whilst these fixtures have provided valuable racing and tideway experience, they have also served as opportunities for the coaches to test out different lineups and talent. On 6th of March, in the grand setting of Apothecaries Hall in London, the final crew lineups were announced. Among those who secured a seat in the Blue Boat was Alex Riddle-Webster, an undergraduate studying computer science who has twice competed in the reserve race. Here she is outlining her journey into rowing and then discussing how crew selections are made regarding who sits where in the boat.
So I didn't learn to row at Cambridge. I learned to row at school, did the kind of typical junior world. I came to Cambridge and I've rowed in Blondie, so that's the reserve A twice, once in the three seat and once in the seven seat. And now I'm going to be in the three seat of the Blue Boat. Our coach has been around the block many more times than I have. He's a really experienced coach. He will know where you can make the boat move fastest, and in each year that is a different place. So this year for me it's the three seat, last year it was the seven seat.
Thank you. And of course, it's announced that you've got your seats in the Blue Boat now. How does this affect what you're doing? Does it give you a bit of a boost, or is it just business as normal? You're not even thinking about it.
Oh, that's a really interesting question. I think you're always, always looking to improve and do the best that you can wherever you are. That's a really interesting question. Has my approach changed with selection? I wouldn't say so, no. I'd say that I'm still looking for what else I can do.
Alex there telling us about crew selection. And it's also important to remember that all these athletes are also full-time students juggling demanding academic courses. So let's hear a little bit about Alex's research, which, as you might have guessed, also relates to rowing.
So I study computer science and I'm really into networking and cybersecurity, and my final year project is a MANAT, that's a mobile ad hoc network to facilitate collision avoidance in rowing boats, which is characterised by a lack of pre-existing infrastructure and will, much like parking sensors on a car, beep at you when you get too close to another rowing boat. So what sort of be a single sculler and that kind of thing.
Many thanks to Alex there, who will be in the Cambridge Light Blue Boat alongside America's Isabel Bastian. Isabel has been rowing for 10 years now and previously studied at Harvard. Here, also speaking at the crew announcement, Isabel compares her experiences growing up rowing on the Charles River to moving now to compete on the Thames, and talks about the wonderful community that she's found there.
The Tideway is so, so different from the Charles, I would say, but I do think that there is such a strong community of rowing around the Tideway that you can see even as someone who has just come down for, you know, these different weekends, and definitely much more this term. But it is a really special community and experience and location, and I think that is a piece of the boat race, just that all the factors that go into the Tideway and also all the clubs and involvement that local people, we stay at local hosts' families, we boat out of Thames Rowing Club, which is incredible, and also like when we've had damage to our boats before, they've been so, so helpful in lending us a boat even. So the local community is a huge part of us being able to race on Boat Race Day.
Great to hear, thank you. And of course, this is crew selection day, so I'm wondering, how did they first reveal to you that you were in the crew? Was there a big fanfare, or just a kind of quieter conversation in the corner maybe?
Yeah, I don't think there was a lot of big fanfare for most people. I think that the selection has been really ongoing throughout the whole year. And I think that the system has been pretty open and clear. And so there wasn't, for the most part, a lot of kind of drama or craziness about it, because I think it was very clear what the coaches were looking for and how they were selecting and how it was happening across the process. And I think while it was getting closer and closer to a selected boat, there's been injury and there's been illness, and so we've had a lot of different lineups that we've been racing in these fixtures, and so the whole team has been so critical, subbing in and sparing and rowing different sides and really being flexible even with the selection of a crew. I think I've really seen over the last month how critical every member of the team has been to that crew, and will continue to be even after today. But I think it's definitely a really exciting day, and I think a signifier of the difference of the boat race to another race, where in no other race are you having, maybe the Olympics, are you having the selection as such a recognized event. I'm so very excited for the rest of today.
So with our crew set, it's time to take another break to hear from some more of the wider organizations involved in the boat race. Without the volunteer work of those at the RNLI, the boat race simply could not take place. Here, Andy Mayo from the RNLI in Chiswick talks about the efforts on race day and the essential role these people play in making the event happen.
So my name's Andy Mayo. I'm a Thames commander on the RNLI at Chiswick Lifeboat Station. And so basically we're the safety kind of for the event, for the day. But not so much for the actual race, for the rowers, but for the crowds. We get a lot of crowds down on the embankment, venturing out onto the foreshore. So we'll have two lifeboats that will follow the race, and we have around 9 Arantia lifeboats, small lifeboats with lifeguards and crew on, that will just manage the crowd, pushing them back, making sure they don't get cut off or anything like that. It is a big logistical nightmare. We start about 3 days. We're attending meetings all the time, safety meetings all the time, and then it builds up and up. And then a week before, we start getting the other 9 lifeboats in, getting them sorted. The crews come down night before, and basically, yeah, just working out safety-wise, going out on patrol, finding the areas. Yeah, so it is quite a big task.
Andy Mayo speaking there. And back to the boat race now. And the men's and women's open weight categories are not the only rowing races between these two universities on this iconic course. The lightweight crews on each side also face off against each other annually in what is an equally closely fought and high-level contest. A handful of days before this year's lightweight race, I spoke to Katie Hempson, who is representing Cambridge. Katie starts off here by explaining the difference between the lightweight races and the more familiar open weight ones.
So I'm Katie, I'm a fourth year medic at Cambridge, and I'm the 5 seat in the women's lightweight crew. So the lightweight boat race, it takes place on a different day to the open weight boat races. And the main difference, obviously being lightweights, means that you have to weigh in at a certain weight kind of before the race. So the race is on Monday, the 20th of March. The women have to weigh in at 59 kilos 4 to 1 hour before the race. It's definitely kind of like a little bit about like what height you are and what weight you are and what's going to be sort of like more practical and achievable. But there's definitely like movement between crews. So for example, Gemma King, who's in the reserve boat this year, has been in both the open weight reserve boats and the lightweight boat in the past. Rosa Millard, who's in the blue boat this year, stroked the lightweight boat last year. So there's definitely potential to go between lightweight and open weight. Apart from that, it's the same as kind of the open weight boat races. So we row the championship course, 6.8 kilometres from Putney to Mortlake.
Thank you very much for that introduction. And now, putting aside for a second the all-important rowing, can you tell us a little bit about the social side of the club? How have you enjoyed the team spirit and the team bonding and getting to know everyone?
Honestly, it's been amazing. With the lightweight specifically, we're quite a small squad now with 10 crew and then 2 spares of the rowers and the not cocks, so 11 total. And that's been really lovely just throughout the season. Like, everyone's so close and supportive. We've become this really tight-knit group. The squad as a whole is amazing. Like, everyone is just so kind, so supportive. It's a very fun atmosphere a lot of the time. Like, even when, you know, we're training quite hard and there's sort of serious stuff going on, selection and races, like, there's so many fun things that happen. So it's a really great team to be a part of.
That's great to hear. And now, thinking more generally about your background in rowing, how did you first get into the sport and what would you say your highlight to date has been?
Like, quite a lot of the lightweight boat this year, actually. I didn't start rowing until I came to uni, so I only started rowing at age 18. So I joined my college boat club. I actually thought I was going to hate rowing. I'm not very good at early mornings. I only tried it out because I kind of thought, oh, I'm at Cambridge, like, I've got to try rowing at least once. But I thought I'd hate it and end up doing something else. That kind of didn't happen. Here I am. Highlight today, oh, there's so many. I've enjoyed the whole season at CUBC so much. Fool's Head and Trial 8s was like a really massive and exciting experience to me. But also at the college level, I was the captain of boats last year at Christ, and we bladed in May bumps, which means when you bump on every single day. So that was a really great atmosphere as well.
Oh, fantastic. I was doing the student radio coverage for that, and it was great because everyone else commentating watched their boat get bumped down, and then I commentate on Christ just being triumphant. So that was very satisfying. And just a last question. At time of recording, we're 3 days from the race. And so has everything ramped up another level for you, or is it a matter of trying to keep that out of your head and carry on as if it weren't there?
It's quite interesting because the training, we're on a taper now. So when you sort of like decrease the training a little bit to let your body sort of recover a bit. So the training's like a little bit less than usual. I think there's a lot more like mental energy that's going into it at the moment, sort of a lot of practice visualizations and like team building stuff. I'm trying not to change my routine up too much. Like I'm thinking about making sure I prioritize sleep and recovery. But apart from that, I'm just trying to get enough work done so that my degree does not suffer. Just join in, you know, all the team stuff with the girls and just really kind of capitalize on these last few days.
And I'm very pleased to be able to confirm the good news, at least from Katie's perspective, that on Monday, 20th of March, she and her fellow Cambridge women triumphed over Oxford by a margin of 6 lengths in the women's lightweight race. The Cambridge men also managed to make it a double set of wins, beating their rivals by 11 lengths, equivalent to 31 seconds. 2 days after the lightweight races, on Wednesday the 22nd of March, was the pre-boat race press conference. This was only 4 days before the big day, and was a final chance to hear rowers' thoughts ahead of the race and get a sense of crew dynamics and where all their heads were at. Here are some quickfire interviews with crew members across both the men's and women's crews for Oxford and Cambridge. You'll hear the rowers introduce themselves, say where they sit in the boat, and give their thoughts on all things boat race. As the countdown gets ever closer to the big day, it's over to the athletes.
I'm Alex Bebb, and I'm the 4C. My mum strongly persuaded and or forced me into it. I wasn't a particularly athletic kid. I was actually a very small kid. I started coxing when I first joined. Obviously, a bit different now. But no, I started rowing when I was about 13 for my high school. I was fortunate enough to get recruited to the States for undergrad, and now I row here as a postgrad. That's sort of been my story. I rowed for Canada briefly as under 23, back in 2018, and that's about it. I was ice my first year. The race got cancelled. That was blue boat anyway.
Thank you. And you mentioned your blue boat preparation was, of course, hampered by COVID and all of those restrictions and everything. And yeah. Have you enjoyed this year, hopefully, a bit of normality and you can see the difference?
Yeah, I think it's actually quite special for me. It's taken 4 years. finally get a race that, well, assuming it goes ahead in a few days, barring some apocalypse, I would finally get a race in the time where. So it's obviously quite special for me. I'm very excited about that. No, it's been nice to have like a pretty normal run up. I was just saying in an earlier interview, it's quite exciting to have all the press around it because Lakes Rowing doesn't get a lot of it, and there's something quite special about it. It's nice being able to tell our stories, and I think it's a pretty, both teams will be a very interesting group. So.
I'm Ollie Boyne. I'm the president of the Openweight Men's Squad.
Ollie spoke to you about the President's Challenge at the very start of your presidency. Kind of several months in now, how have you found the role has developed, and have there been unexpected quirks or tasks within it?
It's been a long while since the challenge. You know, a lot of challenges come up for the crews. We do camp, we have all our fixtures, so a lot has happened since then. I think overall it's gone really well. I'm really happy with how the Blue Boat and Goldie has progressed, and now everything's ramping up, and we've got the race in a few days' time. So it's been great.
Obviously, not including race day, which hopefully will be the highlight, but up to now, what's been some of your favourite moments from the campaign, either from a rowing perspective or just getting to know the crews?
Yeah, for me, Trilates are definitely always the highlight of the season. I think it nicely splits the season in two and is our chance to do a mock boat race and feel all the build-up, not quite, obviously, not the fans or anything like that, but to have this idea of we split the whole squad in two and we have the bit of rivalry, and at the end we come together and we are proud of what we've achieved and we look forwards, and for me, that's such a special part of the season.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much, both of you, for your time. Good luck on Sunday. Thank you.
Alex, 3C, we met before.
Isabel, 6C. Karina and I, Sipabao.
Yeah, so we're all living together in the same house, and we spend a lot of time together, but it's been really wonderful just kind of having the moments rowing and being out in the water, and then also more casual times of eating and just hanging out and just kind of bonding and spending time together. It's been really good in the lead up, for sure. This morning we had the blue boat, the women's blue boat from 1973 come out on the launch and watch, and it was so interesting after the pieces to be able to talk to them and how different the experience was 50 years ago, and just be able to see how women's sport has moved on since then. It was so different back then and all these things. It also, like, we are where we are today because they were racing 50 years ago.
Thank you. And just a last question, the lightweights, fantastic success for them earlier this week. Has that buoyed the club on? And I'm sure you all enjoyed watching that.
Yeah, obviously we're so proud of them and they've made an amazing performance, and we kind of just, I guess we hope that we're able to follow in their steps. And we get really excited and everyone cheers for each other, so we're really excited for them to be supporting us on race day on Sunday. And yeah, I think we've made good moves and we're looking forward to Sunday.
Yeah, definitely. So much fun to watch both the lightweights and then the lightweight spares race at different points this week. And just the energy is high and it's so much fun to have everyone out there cheering for each other in the one club spirit.
I'm Tara and I'm the Cox.
I'm Sara and I'm the three seat in the blue boat and also the president.
I learnt to row at Keys in Cambridge, but then moved over, saw the light and started, or the dark as it were. Yeah. I trained a bit with OUW last year, came back this year, got the blue boat. So,
coming out of several weeks of build-up fixtures, what's the feeling in the club after that? It's always interesting to hear. Obviously, it's partly about winning the race on the day for the fixtures, but also longer-term planning.
Yeah, exactly. It's good to, because we got to try like a lot of different things, a few new lineups, and so it's really good to learn from that. And then we've been building on stuff this whole week, so that's exciting.
Coxing wise, the fixtures are really useful to practice steering side by side. We also do side by side work with Osiris, but it's really good to do it in a racy environment, practice the whole build up, racing plans, racing lines, that kind of thing.
Hi, so my name is Jenna Armstrong. I'm a PhD student here at Cambridge. I rode an undergrad in the States and then am now here for my PhD.
What makes Cambridge and rowing in the UK in general quite unique is that you do have a mix of undergrads and postgrads. In the States, it's mostly just undergrads. So I think you get really that like young, excited, youthful energy from the undergrad population. But then you also kind of get the experience and maybe a little bit more of the maturity in the postgrad side of things. So I think when you put those two together, you end up with this really nice dynamic where there's both energy and experience together, and I think that's what makes boats go particularly fast. I would say it's 100% worth just giving it a try. I was never super coordinated and I wasn't exactly like that type of athlete, but I think when I found rowing, I found something that I was really good at, and it's a sport that I particularly love because what you put in is what you get out. So if you kind of go out there, put yourself out there, be a little bit vulnerable, give it a try, and just continue to work really hard and continue to put in the hours of training and trust your coaches and trust the process, you progressively get better and faster and stronger. And it's really nice to just, at least to myself, to kind of watch that progression, and I would encourage everyone to give it a try and be able to experience that journey too.
Seb Benzekri in six. My first season was 2020-21, which was the COVID season, the Ely boat race, which was a fantastic experience. I was coming out of 4 years of undergrad at Princeton in the States, where I also rowed, and then was like thrown into a house with five other guys on the team and in lockdown, so we were all kind of training together in the back garden on the erg pretty much the entire year. So I didn't get the full sort of CUBC experience that year, but it was a really special time for all of us. And then sort of come together and win the boat race at the end was just amazing. But then last year, the 2021-22 season, was kind of like the first proper boat race season I had. And that was, I was in Goldie for that season. And it was a great, great year. We had some amazing guys on the team, Olympians coming in, including guys who just won medals at Tokyo, which was pretty insane. And to be a part of that group was just brilliant. And then, you know, as it happened, Oxford also had an insane squad, and it was a, you know, fantastic race, and Oxford had just had some great boats that year. And then this year we sort of come back again, and I guess the great thing about the boat race is it changes its face, you know, so often. You just get whole new groups of people come in every year, and it's a completely different sort of group with different dynamics and different strengths and weaknesses. And so this year we've had a, you know, much younger group, a bit less experience probably, no sort of massive superstars in terms of, you know, international talent, but it's been so much fun sort of creating something that's more than the sum of its parts, you know. Coach Rob, who has done some amazing things with CBC over his whole life basically, because he was born and raised in Cambridge and his dad was the boatman at CBC, and so Rob's been around it for a long time. He's just sort of made us into a real unit, and it's It's been a really, really fun season. Positive vibes all the way through. You know, ups and downs, as there always are, but generally just like super motivated. And yeah, sort of ready to race now.
As amazing as it is, as you say, to see Olympian stars in the boat race, as a viewer as well, there's also a massive joy in just seeing students a bit more like yourself taking part in the boat. So the two different faces are equally great. And you talked about your own experience at Princeton and the international side of the boat race. How much is that part of the journey? People from all over the world, tuning in all over the world.
Yeah, well, I think it's great to sort of have all these diverse perspectives coming in. You know, when I came in, I guess I was new to the squad, but I also felt like I had seen a huge amount of the sport and different teams. And so everyone, and that's the case for a lot of the guys coming in. A lot of guys are coming in as post-grads, having been at different programs. And so you just have this wealth of experience coming in from all different, you know, parts of the rowing world, I guess, different coaching styles, different, you know, technical focuses. And it kind of, and I think the coaching staff at CUBC just managed to create something really cohesive out of all of that, but make sure that everyone's voices are heard. And I think that's a really important thing about this program. You know, it's a very vocal program. People like to share their experience, and the undergrads as well. You know, everyone's coming in with something to say and something to contribute. And yeah, everyone is encouraged to you know, be an active participant in building that year's squad culture, squad focus, technical focus, you know, everything.
Hi, my name is Thomas Lynch. I'm 5 seat of the boat.
I'm Nick Mayhew, and I'm 2 seat.
I'm Matt Edge. I'm the bow seat.
We can get that sorted before the weekend.
So we're still training twice a day like usual, but the mileage is dropping and it's sort of a lot more high and intense stuff and a lot less long and slow stuff.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, it's fine-tuning the fine details, really coming into the last few days, resting up a bit, making sure we feel completely ready mentally and physically for the race. So that all comes into the training program and how we interact on and off the water.
We've all moved into a house together, having a lot of fun, beating each other at chess or losing to each other at chess. But we haven't fallen out about it since yet, so it's nice.
It's a lot of time spent with the same guys, so it's a, you know, it's a game of you all hang out for real times, and then sometimes you want some time on your own, and it's, but definitely good for the team sort of spirit.
Brilliant. If not forever, then maybe.
Yeah.
You've been in the lightweight boat several times, and how have you found moving between the different crews? Was it something you always had your eye on, or?
No, not at all. I thought I was done last year. I was in my fourth year, I'd finished my master's, so I thought I'd be off, but I got a good offer for a PhD, so I thought I'd stay and make use of it. And moving across the heavies was really easy, actually, with the one club structure. I'd worked with Rob, knew all the guys. Yeah, ate some more food. It's quite nice. I was getting a bit thin for lightweight, so I think it was the right time to make the switch. I've really enjoyed it.
Brilliant, thank you. And just a final question then is kind of, what are you most looking forward to about race day, apart from the race itself?
I mean, you want to focus on the race to perform, but I do think it's a monumental occasion for each of us individually. It's a culmination of years and decades for some of us of work, and so, you know, you try to enjoy the day. You're going to bring out your best performance, but you can't do that if you're, you know, stressed out. So you want to enjoy it and appreciate the moment, as well as, you know, put down your best performance against Oxford.
I'm looking forward to those 5 minutes on the stake boat where we just sort of sit there and we wait for alignment. I mean, I feel like those will be probably the highest, the crescendo of nerves and excitement for me. And then the after party, I guess.
Brilliant. Yes. Heard legendary story. So I hope you guys enjoy and best of luck for the day. Thank you.
Nicholas, Matt and Tom Dare closing out our interviews with rowers at the pre-race press conference. But just sticking with this press conference, and we'll give the final word from then to Rob Baker, the Cambridge men's coach. As you heard in the previous interviews, Rob lives and breathes Cambridge rowing, and here he explains how he prepares his crews to deal with all the hype and fanfare around the race on race day itself.
It's not very multifaceted. There's a lot of conversations. You know, every day is a part of that, every session, every conversation. But ultimately, we've just got to be able to, you know, do our best rowing on the day with all those other, all those things are just distractions at the end of the day. They don't mean anything, they're not real. in terms of affecting, you know, what we do. We have to, you know, the guys have to understand that and get their head around it. And yeah, that takes a lot of work and a lot of practice.
Thank you. And I've really enjoyed following the build-up fixtures. And I wondered if you could talk us a bit about how much you balance kind of winning the race on the day versus kind of longer-term planning.
You know, we'd like to win all comfortably. That doesn't always happen. But, you know, the most important thing, you know, the only thing that matters to us is winning the boat race. And if we get a lot of information, a lot of learning out of those fixtures, then that's hugely useful. And it certainly has been this year.
Brilliant, thank you. Just thinking about wider boat race company that obviously you're part of and the outreach work they do, how much are your blue boats involved with that and how important is it to you?
Well, I mean, on the day-to-day we're not involved too much because we're, you know, obviously focused on the race, but you know, it's very important, and I think it's been, you know, a really wonderful thing to see happening, seeing it directly with the Ely College from the Isle of Ely Boat Club across the river from us in Ely has been great. And you know, that's been, you know, it's really great to see those kids, and hopefully provide a little bit of encouragement for them in seeing us out. And, so yeah, it's a really, really great partnership.
So, leaving the press conference there, and with the race now only 4 days away, it's time for a final cutaway into the wider boat race world. I spoke to Sarah Winkless, an Olympic bronze medalist and two-time world champion. She is very familiar with the boat race, having competed in it and won 3 times. In 2020, she also became the first woman to be selected to umpire the men's race and was able to take up this role the following year when racing resumed after COVID. Lastly, and cementing her status as a boat race aficionado, she also rode in this year's veterans race, which took place the day before the students raced. I caught up with her the day before her veterans race to hear about her experiences over the years in the boat race, and it was a fascinating conversation.
Hi, I'm Sarah Winkless. I was lucky enough to be a blue way back when, 95, 96 and 97. My boat races were at Henley on that course. Luckily, as a group, we won all 3 of those, which was amazing. And I think one of the things for me was, one, testing myself as an athlete over that, but also the friendships I made. So this week only, I stayed in the house we stayed at Henley because I have befriended that family and they invited me to dinner. So those connections have really lasted the time.
Oh, that's, yeah, so nice to hear. And talking to the crews as well, they've really valued, they've had crews coming back way back 70s, 60s as well. So legacy is so important. You've obviously competed on the world and international stage, Olympic, world championships, and obviously that's a different kind of event to the boat race. But what particularly makes it special do you find?
Oh, the boat race is so special, isn't it? Having been down the bumps at Cambridge with some people and being terrified of the cannon and that countdown, and then sitting on an Olympic start line at the other end of my career and having the silence and the stillness of a 6-lane course with buckets that your bow ball of your boat's in there, and you're just there with a machinery, and suddenly you come to the boat race. And of course, now all the races are at the Tideway, and that piece, of course, at that start is, I think, about 380 metres wide. It is just huge. So the two boats are tiny in the middle of it. Helicopters over the top, now drones, the rest of it, the fanfare, the crowds. It's incredible. And for us to be part of that, for me to be part of that as an umpire and a tiny bit of the machinery, if you like, that allows those athletes to shine, is incredible.
Brilliant. Thank you. And can you actually sort of remember much specifics about the races? Or I can imagine it's the sort of thing which you think back and almost out of body experience.
Yeah, I think my first boat race is the one I remember the most. I was really new to rowing. I was an athlete, field athlete, a netballer, basketball player. And I had started rowing when I got to Cambridge in anger, if you like, and got myself into the blue boat. And I just remember being terrified, just being so scared. And the pre-race talk, sitting around a table in the Aleander Club, which is where we were, and just looking at the faces of our cox, who's a man, and the women who I was going to race with, and just praying I wasn't going to let them down. And then you go to the warm-up and sort of the other side of Henley Bridge, which is where we were, in the choir, and just being able to do the job. And I thought, okay, I'm fine, I can do this. Until we're on the start line, and then, my God, I would have been anywhere else in the world than that, because it is just those moments. And I was so scared, but so excited, I think, at the same time. And you know, the umpire, which I probably didn't even look at or notice at the time, said go, and off we went. And it was just incredible because the boat, which we'd struggled to make sing on that day it sang, it was just incredible. And the I've got two memories, that start and it going, oh my God, it's okay. And then 1,000 meters or halfway for us, when Alistair Potsar Cox was like, Sarah, this is brilliant. Show me your strength. And I just did the biggest strokes I've ever given in my life between now and then, I think. And I remember thinking, oh my God, that's good, but we're only halfway. Will I make it to the end? So I think it was a real, really human experience. And we did make it to the end and that crew won. And it was just behind the side end of, you know, Henley, the other side of the island, away from the crowds in that moment, but with your crew. And that was just incredible. And I love catching up with all my boat race crews, but I think particularly that crew, we have some really strong and fond memories of that moment.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, talking to one of the men in the Cambridge Blue Boat this year, saying the moment he's kind of most looking forward to is that quiet at the start line. I think, God, that to me, that would just be the most terrifying moment. But clearly he's up for the challenge, which is good. Moving on now to talk about your experiences in umpiring, obviously the first woman umpire for the men's blue boat race. And just if you could kind of talk us through that role, obviously it's unlike any sort of refereeing that people might be used to on football or rugby. So if you could just tell us a bit about your responsibilities.
Yeah, and this year you'll be seeing Tony Reynolds and Matt Smith umpiring the men and the women's boat races. I will be actually on Isis Gold as a reserve umpire. So I'm only going to need to do anything if something goes wrong with the umpire launch. So hopefully I've got a very quiet day at the office. And the role of the umpire is make sure, first of all, that it's safe and then there's fair and equal racing. Doing that, you're in a boat behind the crews and you're equipped with a megaphone and a flag. And with those two equipments, you're meant to be in charge of the crews. And absolutely, you have the power to ensure that the rules of the race, the 10 rules of the boat race, are adhered to. So what you'll see the umpire do is start the race with a red flag, attention, go, and that's when your Cambridge man, that moment, that silence will be over because they'll be ripping their blades or pressing their blades through the water. And then hopefully what you'll see the umpires doing is then guide the crews with a white flag. And what they're saying by that is, I've got a warning. They'll use either the name of the crew and ask their flag to move, or both crews move apart. What they want to there is ensure that the crews aren't causing a foul, aren't hitting each other, essentially, boat, blade, or person. And that's the idea. At the end of the race, hopefully they all get there in one piece and you'll see that white flag up again. If you see a red flag, it means the umpire will want to press pause. They won't be asking for the result to stand at that moment, and they'll go and have a conversation with the crew.
I see. Thank you. And of course, the women's race last year, we saw some quite aggressive coxing from Jasper Parrish and hasn't really given any indication he's going to do it any differently this year. And I thought, kind of, what's going through your head when you're having to deal with that moment on the spot? Because obviously it's keeping the race flowing and not getting too involved, but also keeping them in line.
Yeah, you should be an umpire. You've got it. It really is. And so the thing that always goes through my head is, where are they on the river? So who is at risk of being disqualified if something goes wrong here? And who do I need to warn? So are they at risk of a foul, or are you just not liking where they are or how they're coxing? So only warn when they're at risk of a foul, when they're at risk of getting their crew disqualified through their content. At other points, as an umpire, you want to try and stay out of it. When I've been umpiring the fixtures this year, I have used quite a few times both crews move apart. And what I want from there is to make sure that the crews have got enough breathing space between their blades that they can move a little bit without causing a foul or causing a crash.
Thank you very much. And just moving on to the last section now of the interview, is you're of course on the water again this weekend in the alumni and the veterans race, and just tell us a little bit about this event and what tempted you back onto the river.
Yeah, for me this year, I've been out on the Tyway a few times with the veteran group for the Cambridge alumni. We've been boating from Crabtree Club, which has been fantastic. And we've had, I think, between 12, 13, 14 women come through that boat through our training, which has been just brilliant. And I've loved it because I'm 49 this year, I'll be 50 next year, one of the older athletes. But we've got to know the athletes across the ages. And I got to row with her double Olympic champion, Grace Prendergast, which was just amazing. She's our reserve. because she can't make it on the day. We're not because we're better than her. But what was for me incredible is to be able to sort of merge the friendships, the stories, the athletes across the ages. And we've tried to make it inclusive, so there's more than the athletes that we're going to race. They always needed to look. We've not all been available, but yeah, it's been really, really good fun. And the Thames Coffee Shop has done very well out of us.
Brilliant, lovely. And do you have any intelligence on who you're going to be up against? I assume when it's kind of lights out, it's head in the game as if it were the actual thing itself.
Yeah, spot on. We've seen the crew list. And I think it's so different because when you're racing, you know, this week, the crews will have been out at least 10 times in the week, maybe an 11th time. We last went out, Nick, last week. And we will go out tomorrow. So we're going down to the Tiger and doing an outing beforehand. So, I mean, whilst I know the names and they're great athletes that Oxford have, I have no idea of their current form. And, of course, when the man or woman says go, we will, of course, think we're in the real thing and be racing each other for the pride.
Oh, brilliant. Well, best of luck for them. I can't wait to follow the results. I'm ahead.
Thank you.
Thank you very much to Sarah, who was speaking on the eve of her veterans race, and I can confirm that on Saturday, March 25th, both the Cambridge women and men won their veteran races against Oxford, and in both cases, very decisively so. Congratulations to Sarah and to all involved. Now it's time to turn our attention well and truly to the boat race and to race day itself. Cambridge men won in 2018, 19 and 21, but Oxford managed to put an end to these victories last year. Cambridge women are going into this year's race looking to make it 6 wins from 6 and are heavy favourites. All 4 crews across both sides and both genders are heavily changed from previous years. Quiver is the only female rower on either side to have competed in the blue boat before. Both men's crews have 4 returning blues, but only 3 of these 8 men competed last year, all for Cambridge, meaning the men's crews are also predominantly new lineups. As Seb explained at the press afternoon though, what the crews have switched out in experience or international pedigree, they all more than make up for in sheer innate talent and fresh-faced enthusiasm to go racing. And what a day it was! 2 so exciting races, dramatic action, aggressive and inspired coxing, and thousands of people out in force despite the conditions. And the moment you've all been waiting for, let's talk about those 2 triumphant victories for Cambridge men and women. But before we delve into the details of the races, let's have a listen to the jubilant scenes as Cambridge University Boat Club welcomed their victorious rowers back onto dry land. Fantastic scenes, and you can sense the pure, unrestrained happiness and relief of all involved in that Cambridge club. So let's talk through those races now. On the women's side, Oxford initially took an early lead, making the most of the tough conditions. However, Cambridge soon recovered that lost ground, gradually extending their own lead before settling into a steady and dominant rhythm to take victory in a controlled fashion. During that initial tussle for the lead, both boats did come very close together, with umpire Matt Smith having to warn the crews to keep apart, just as Sarah described. In the end, though, he judged it all clean and fair racing, and Cambridge secured that almighty 6th consecutive win. Let's hear now from some of the girls in that winning boat, starting with American Freya Kito.
Yeah, it was a very close start, maybe not the ideal one, but I think we just trusted about what we could do, and I had complete faith in all the people on the boat. We had talked about this for a long time, so we knew exactly what to do. I think the Cox box went out many times, but we all knew the plan so well that it was smooth. We'll just keep pushing. Yeah.
Freya there, very impressively managing to string sentences together, combining giddy celebration and complete physical exhaustion. Let's talk about the Cambridge Cox now, James Trotman. His nerves of steel ensured Cambridge perfectly judged just how close they could get to the Oxford boat without taking it too far. As just a first-year undergrad, James is clearly a natural on this huge stage.
I mean, we had to get through some pretty tough conditions coming past Barnells, but then we really just got into our stride, stretched it out past the milepost, and then broke clear around Harrods and just looked for the fast water then. And then just really rode our own race from then on, kept moving away. It was, brilliant stuff, really well done from the crew. the moment between Barn Elms and the mile post, when we started moving back through, I knew that we were onto a really strong rhythm and something that would take us through all the way to the end. That's when I really believed and knew what could happen. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Congratulations again.
Last up from the Cambridge women's side, let's get some immediate race reaction from Alex and Jenna as they tell us at what point they allowed themselves to believe that they might actually be able to win this.
Oh gosh, for me it's once we cross the finish line.
Until Matt was like, you've done it.
Yeah, once we cross the finish line and the umpire kind of finalized the race, I don't think you ever kind of let off until that happens. Well, so we have a race plan that we've created from, you know, we've worked on over the course of the season. And so for us, it was just sticking to our race plan. Once we kind of broke away from Oxford, we just focused on our plan and trying to beat ourselves and try and get as quickly as we possibly can down the course. We've trained in all sorts of conditions. We've been down on the tide right now for the last 10 days practicing in these sorts of conditions. So we kind of experienced it all down the course. We had a headwind, we had a tailwind, we had calm water, we had wavy water. But again, we were so prepared that all we had to do, James called it, we adjusted, and yep.
Of course, the cruel nature of events like the boat race means that for every delighted winning team, there's a crew which has just missed out on victory. Oxford rode a strong race they can be proud of, and with several very young rowers, including impressive homegrown talent who learnt to row at the university, I'm sure they will bounce back next year, having grown even stronger. Let's hear from their president, Sarah, as she kindly shared her thoughts amid this moment of disappointment.
The boat race is getting closer and closer for the women's boat race, which is awesome. So I don't think it's pretty much been sorted out before the mile in previous years, so it's cool to have such an exciting race. I blacked out for most of it, I think, so I can't remember a lot. But I remember there was a point where we were down, then we were up, and we were down again. Then they were switching over to our water, and we knew that if we hit them, we would win. And we got close, but we didn't make it. But that was quite tiring. So yeah, like, we gave it our all. I'm really proud of the girls. At the end of the day, Cambridge rode really well. They outgunned us, so well done to them.
Commiserations again to Sarah and her crew. Moving over to the men's side now, and it's safe to say that this was one of the most exciting, dramatic and unusual races of recent years. In particularly choppy conditions, it was all to play for as the boats approached Craven Cottage. In a bold and somewhat unprecedented move, Cambridge cox Jasper Parrish made a split-second decision to steer his crew towards the Fulham flat side of the bank. Although this deviated from the traditional racing line, he sensed that there were calmer waters in this direction and that it was worth the risk and extra mileage. Very soon after, it was clear that his gamble had paid off as Cambridge extended a half-length lead. There was still a long way to go at this point, and in no way did Oxford let Cambridge run away with it, but the Cambridge men maximised their advantage and dug deep to bring home that victory. Let's hear from the man of the moment, Jasper Parrish. Jasper had already made a name for himself last year when his aggressive coxing helped the Cambridge women to victory. This year, he once again proved his expert tactical ability and his calmness under pressure, and here are his thoughts alongside his crewmate and brother Ollie, who is also now a two-time boat race winner. Over to the Parrishes.
Way, but you know, it takes 9 guys to win a race, and
and
you know, I'm just a small part of it. You know, it's years, well, it's months of training. This is something that's been built, we've been building towards for a very long time, and you know, everyone in that boat put everything they've got down to that race, and yeah, no, I was just that little bit of it. It's a very rare thing in boat races to cut that corner. Almost never happens, actually, and you know, I was in two minds in the moment at the time, and I thought, you know what, I got to take this gamble. It's pretty level right now, and we know it's going to be a tight race. So yeah, I just...
Besides the call and the correct timing, and you nailed it.
In the moment, okay. Something that, you know, we discussed from time to time, yeah. but fundamentally, it's not something you ever expect to be doing in the race, so...
Oh, it was no, so relieved. It was so rough in the middle. But all that gold against some nice water. Yeah, he absolutely nailed that.
So
absolutely nailed it. It wouldn't have changed a thing.
Yeah, you've always got trust in your brother now.
Oh, absolutely. It's only built so far. Yeah. Once we got out of the rough water from Hampstead Bridge onwards, you know, control the race. Don't sprint, nothing crazy. Yeah. Jasper Schools really reflected that. Nothing, no big killer moves, nothing crazy. Just super loose, super relaxed, control the race. Yeah. That's exactly what we need to do, and that's what we did. Yeah. Really, really helped. Night out now. Thank you.
Jasper and Ollie Parrish there, looking forward to some very much deserved celebrating. And as we know, it was a double Cambridge victory across the men's and women's races, but the light blues actually dominated this entire varsity season. We've already talked about how they won both the lightweight and veteran races, men's and women's, but they also won the men and women's reserve races, the spare pairs race, the lightweight spares race, and the 2003 reunion sprint, meaning Cambridge secured an impressive clean sweep across each and every 2023 race. This is something they have only previously achieved twice before, in 2018 and 1993. So there we have it. It is safe to say that this year the Tideway runs light blue. Thank you very much for joining me as we followed the crews all the way from the launch President's Challenge back in November to down on the riverside for race day itself. To close the show, let's listen in on Cambridge's celebrations on the trophy podium, as the men's and women's and both reserve crews all celebrated together with their coaches and trophies. It was a lovely thing to see. After the excitement of this year's racing, I don't know about you, but I'm already looking forward to 2024. See you then.